Hello, this is Jeff Green, broadcasting live from E3 in Los Angeles for the CDW Radio podcast. With me is the entire gang of idiots of CDW, plus special guest idiot.
Vice idiot.
We don't all have mics because we're in a crowded, cramped room here on the E3 show floor, but we're going to try to swap out so everybody gets their say. But with me on mic right now are...
The previews editor, Sean Elliott.
One of you talk, damn it.
Reviews editor, Ryan Scott.
Raspy bastard, Darren Gladstone.
And we're just going to get right to it because we don't have a lot of time and we have a lot to cover. But I'm just going to say from the start, does anybody disagree with me that this is like the best E3 for PC games in like years? And this is not me like blowing like hype smoke up the collective rear. I really think this has just been an awesome show for PC.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it's been the general vibe. I mean, like, you figure with a year where there's, you know, two consoles duking it out for supremacy here, PS3 and Wii, and yet the games that everyone's talking about are all PC.
Yeah. It seems like sometimes, you know, even when the PC has a good year, it's like, you know, it still almost feels like we're playing, you know, we're kind of like the backup or, you know, the redheaded stepchild to what's going on at the show. But it seems like there's a lot of stuff that's PC that's actually center stage. Spore, Crisis, Quake Wars, games like that are all getting serious attention from, seems like, the population at large here. I don't think anybody's listening.
No. I totally agree.
Add enemy territory Quake Wars to that, definitely.
Quake Wars, right. So actually, let's just like talk about it. What have you guys seen that has really been awesome for you at the show?
Spore.
Yeah, Spore.
Let's get the obvious ones out of the way. I mean, Spore looks great.
Yeah, we should say we just all walked out of the Spore demo. Will Wright gave about a half hour demo of that game, and it looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it, man.
He just kept going.
Yeah, I was
here,
like,
now we're going to show you the planet. Now we're going to show you the solar system. Now we're going to show you the universe.
It's like most games would have been like one or two of those levels would have been enough. And then it's like it kept going back, and then there was another level of game, and then another, and then another.
The one thing I am looking forward to seeing more on that in the coming months, the coming year, is since we've seen all the macro scale stuff and the movement between, you know, one phase of civilization to the next, I'm wondering about the specifics of, you know, within each one of those subsets.
Yeah.
And how much depth there is, you know.
You're right. That's been left pretty vague. Like, what are you going to do when you are in a city? Like, what is that going to play like?
Well, that's obviously probably one of the deeper parts, is just building up that civilization. It becomes a civ game.
Uh-huh.
Well, kind of. It looked like neighboring planets could like attack you. So maybe it's like, it sounds kind of like an RTS or something.
Maybe. And then earlier it was like Sims-like, right?
Yeah.
Like making friends and.
It's almost like all his previous games were kind of leading up to this, kind of like he was tackling the different pieces of it before then.
And I guess the other big concern in that is there's all this customizability that we've seen. You know, we've seen not only the creature creation menus, but civilization creation menus from, you know, housing, structures, vehicles, and whatnot. But how cosmetic is it? How superficial?
Yeah.
Can you design a civilization that works, that excels in one field and not in another? Same way that you would with the creature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That range, I don't doubt it, but that's all the stuff that I'm looking forward to seeing more.
So you're a hater.
Not a hater. Don't even say it. Don't even say that.
Okay, so enough of Spore. You can read about it in the June CGW.
Right.
On sale now.
Yes.
What else?
Ramble off. I've got to ramble off on enemy
Sean
territory.
Elliott.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Quake Wars, just because I spent a good 3 hours playing it.
That is so awesome, man. I was enjoying the hell out of that today.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how Battlefield 2142. I mean, we've looked at the two and off the bat said, well, enemy territory looks more interesting. And now that I played Battlefield, it seems like it's a lot more fun than I suspected. But by comparison, its game, Splash Damage's game, you know, specifically, is a lot more, you know, compelling at the moment. You know, sitting down and playing each of those, and you can just see all the potential for sort of the typical, the emergent play that, that people are used to in those. So you could put an anti-personnel mine in the front of your Jeep, and instead of the usual, you know, battlefield at C4 on a Jeep, run it in, ghost ride it, get out and detonate it. But now you can sort of bulldoze through personnel, and if you don't, if they don't get caught in the wheels, the anti-personnel mines, the claymores, are going off on the front of your bumper as you're running through them. Mm-hmm. So I'm already finding all kinds of stuff like that, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed riding my Icarus on top of a Titan tank and just dropping bombs right on top of them.
Right. Yeah, that thing's fun. I mean, it goes back to the jetpacks and secret weapons expansion for Battlefield. And like the first thing, another thing I tried is one sniper took the jetpack to the roof of the GDF spawn and started sniping. But it was reassuring to see that they had already anticipated that, and they put up automated turrets on in that very area. So it was good just talking to them about how, because as we see the game, I mean, it looks great right now. They can ship it and it would be great. But the real challenge is just bouncing in.
You can tell they're spending a lot of time.
Right.
I mean, these are the former, you know, Team Fortress Quake guys. So, I mean, like, they know what they're doing, setting up level design.
And it was reassuring talking with Kevin Cloud there, too, because they know that they not only need to test with testers that are trying to break the game, you know, for bugs, but with testers that are trying to break the experience for other people, you know, specifically griefers and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Griefers like you.
Right. And I offered to help out if they needed some. But, you guys, other
cool
stuff?
BioShock? Anyone else?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I want to.
Need to get in there, so go off on it.
You need to run over on that. It's awesome. It looks gorgeous. As opposed to most other, first-person shooters, it's, you know, where there's giant corridors. This is like if you've read shameless plug for our May issue, right. If you read the preview there, I mean, it's
so this is the game. This is from Irrational, who made System Shock 2, and this is being called like the spiritual successor,
really is,
right?
To
did it feel? It felt like System Shock
really,
2 to you?
I mean, it was still early on, but I mean, like, there's definitely a tension there, mm-hmm. and a vibe. I can't even really put my finger on it, but like as you're playing it, you feel like, you know, this is the backstory is like, yeah, this is utopian society all underwater, and you are walking around in it, and you feel like there was this whole war that happened, or, you know, this whole civil war, I guess, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of dealing with the piece, picking up as the pieces are being picked up. Mm-hmm. You just want to get out of there before the
basics. Did you get to interact with any of the other creatures?
The big brothers and the big goons that you usually see in all the screenshots,
uh-huh.
they protect these little mutated girls. So, so it's like they walk around the world, and if you and like they'll run away scared from you behind the big goon, the big brother, mm-hmm. and they'll just like they'll start if you're they'll leave you alone as long as you're, you know, not perceived as a threat.
Okay, so that's interesting, because I would say the big point that they were making is that you don't have to kill everything, and
that's
that you're
exactly,
not
yeah.
that your options go beyond the sight them up and pull the trigger
right.
thing. So I just wanted to see if they're delivering on their promise.
And a big part of the game world is that you gain the ability to like alter your DNA and give yourself certain powers, and you go to kind of like how in System Shock you go to like you know little stations and like drop some money in and get whatever bonuses out.
Cash for strength.
Cash for strength. Well, you the stuff in the world. You basically like. Actually, what's a good comparison was probably more like Guild Wars,
mm-hmm.
where you know you pick your deck of powers you want before you go out on a mission.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
That's cool. Crysis was the next game that was going to come, and there's a good segue because in that game, rather than earning points to allocate to various fields, resources, and stuff, you have them all together. You have, say, 100% energy, but on the fly as you play, mm-hmm. you can, say, move the attribute. Say, I want to power all the energy into my arms or something, and mm-hmm. then at which point then you can lift very heavy objects, you punch someone and your melee attacks become that much more devastating. You can run it all to speed if you have, you know, a circumstance where you just want to run really quick, put it into your cloaking device when you want to go stealth. I thought that was pretty interesting. It was similar treatment, but instead of having to earn the stuff, you're constantly pulling that menu up. And
well, I mean, then there's also, well, just going back to BioShock for one more second, the other piece of tension I kind of felt, you know, mentioned is that there's like almost no ammunition in the world, so you have to like really kind of scavenge and try to figure out where you're going to get your mix, like way to protect yourself.
I remember System Shock being that way too, wasn't it? Like you mm-hmm. really had to fight to reload your weapon. It seemed like you had to preserve your ammo.
So it's a little different, but you're right. It is very cool how you could switch your suit on the fly and like you could change the loadouts of your weapon mm-hmm. and
Right.
On the Crysis thing, yeah,
it looks so beautiful.
It looks awesome, man.
You can, when you pull up your gun, instead of the traditional SOCOM or Ghost Recon interface where you go to a menu and click left and right and look at your options, you just just hold your gun up at an angle where you can see the parts, and then different menus appear off of that. Yeah. And I thought it was a really cool organic solution.
Was it my imagination, or was there like this kind of like blur effect going on?
I was noticing
when,
actually,
when you move fast, that wasn't just my eyes.
Quick mouse look movement would create a motion blur.
That was neat.
I caught that too. I thought it was it looked really cool. It was a really cool
professional assessment as a critic said it was neat.
Right. And it's, you know, all that high definition lighting, high dynamic range lighting going on.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you're getting blurry eyed at certain points and
I don't know if that's gonna get distracting after a while or not.
Not as distracting as blinking and alone in the dark.
Holy crap, that was weird.
That was a weird effect.
Lose that.
You know, if you hit like the space bar, you can pour some Visine in too. It's great.
So for all the people out there listening, one of the gameplay features in Alone in the Dark is that I don't know if it's glaucoma vision or what, but as you're looking at your environment, your clarity degrades, and then there's a button you press to blink, and then at which point, you know, your visual acuity increases, but then it goes back down. But it looked like it was just for one hallucinogenic segment of the game rather than an entire... Well, look, imagine playing an entire game where you're blinking.
We have to blink manually. Yeah.
Right, and then next they need, you know, you have to press semicolon to keep your pulse going or to remember to take a breath.
I was thinking even when watching that, there was reminding me of like old RPGs where you had to like eat, where you had to do all these like manual things that just were not fun, but you know, like, oh, I have to stop and eat an apple now or else I'm gonna faint.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, now we have to blink? Screw you. Right. That game was kind of weird looking, I thought. Not to bag on it.
Alone
in the Dark.
Yeah, I mean, I only played the first two games in the series, kind of gave up on, you know, the third and fourth, but what do you think?
It looked cool to me. Here's why. It reminded me of a graphic adventure, but with a greater degree of realistic interactivity, and not so, I mean, at least what they're showing, not so much fighting and things, but, you know, hot wiring a car from a first person perspective and moving around and all those sorts of things. I mean, that keeps you entertained even though you're not necessarily shotgunning, you know, ghouls and whatnot. And that looked promising to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Maybe the blinking was just too distracting.
Yeah, I think it's just they probably only do that in like the beginning in like certain little parts to kind of sell the vibe.
I think that to sort of be a general piece of advice for any developer demoing a game: don't show off the blinking like the first thing.
Yeah, the blink simulator. Before I pass up my microphone, a couple other things I saw. surprise, surprise! World in Conflict, and only that because I'm not traditionally CGW's biggest RTS guy. But the cool thing, I played the multiplayer, four and four match, and you basically, instead of collecting resources and whatnot, the gameplay is divided with one player on Air Force, one player on infantry, another on armor and tanks, and then one on support, which would be bridge layers and aircraft vehicles and whatnot. And consequently, I had a lot less to focus on,
right?
And I was able to, you know, use my troops, my Air Force, to utmost efficiency.
What the hell is that?
Did anyone else hear like trumpets in
the
headphones?
Yeah, it's like the cavalry has arrived. So we're at the at horse E3. Races.
So what's going on, Ryan? What are all these motions you got going?
Hand signals.
Okay, apparently Jeff steals second. Anyway,
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and then
we're losing focus.
Actually, so were there any like cool games you saw like that weren't like, you know, the big games that you kind of like surprised you?
World in Conflict?
There were games that they're not small ones, but there were ones that I went in. They weren't as high on my radar yet, but Supreme Commander, Chris Taylor, looked awesome, I thought.
Vanguard.
What did you think?
Vanguard looked really good. Yeah. I'm going to go on record and saying that there's a lot of haters for that game around here, but I'm not one of them. Yeah, Darren. No, I mean, that game's been around for like 2 years now, and there's been nothing to show except like, you know, nice architecture.
Yeah.
You know, it's looked like a CAD program. I think we've said that.
Yes, D&D before. CAD.
But this time, I thought it really, I mean, it's a really ambitious MMO. You know, I think they have, it's hardcore, though. You know, I don't think it's going to appeal to everybody, but like, they're bringing back corpse runs and they're bragging about it. You know, you got to respect that. You know, there's no option to it. If you want to retrieve your character when you die in this game, you got to do the corpse run.
Yeah. Here.
I'm bugging out.
Okay, we're going to swap mics here,
but you got to do it for me.
Okay.
About the Novant Falcon.
So we're gonna hot swap in a second.
We're going to hot swap. We're hot swapping out Sean Elliott, and we're bringing in Eric Nair, one of our esteemed freelancers. And Sean Malloy, our brand new and spanking new managing editor at CGW. Hi,
hello.
Sean.
Hi. Hello.
Nice to have you aboard. Eric, you too. Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi. I hope my voice is coming across.
Yeah, we hear you. So, Sean and Eric, What did you guys see that you liked that we haven't talked about? Or chime in on what we talked about that you liked.
Well, I
just want to say the thing that I was most impressed by is the new Duke Nukem Forever. I think that's going to be a great, great game. And I'm kidding. Go ahead, Sean.
Easily the best thing I saw was Spore, but we already talked about that to death. I'm actually looking forward to the collectible card game aspect, too.
We did talk about that. That was cool.
That's something I would actually do, which is probably something I shouldn't admit first thing off the bat.
That's why you got the job.
Going back to Supreme Commander, that was they did a couple really cool things that I actually haven't really seen in any other RTSs, like the ability to use the scroll wheel to zoom all the way out and almost have it turn into your mini-map.
That was
and
neat.
That's something that, like, Galactic Civilizations 2 does, which is kind of, you know, different genre, but pretty close. It's so useful. I do it all the time.
Yeah, that was very cool, I thought.
It's kind of almost the Atari version because you just get little dots, but it's really useful. Plus, you can dual-screen it, so you can have...
That was interesting. He was, like, presenting that as, like, you know, I'm unveiling this, like, great new feature, which it is great, but like how many people have two screens?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
You know, actually, but one thing that was kind of cool though that someone is going to take advantage of, I know I will, is the being able to coordinate your actions. You could pull off a pincer attack and you could have them coordinate, like, attack both fronts at the same time, and you can have it like hit at the same ETA. So instead of you having to like jump back and forth between the two different like squads, it synchronizes it for you.
Uh-huh.
And then let's say you had like a picture-in-picture window, leaving it modded open so you can like create several picture-in-picture windows in the interface. So like, imagine like you task one window to like look at one strike force, another at the other, and you just kind of like.
I love the units in that game. Those humongous units.
Yeah,
like, he's been talking about that for a while. How he wanted to have a game where the units were actually of scale. You know, I mean, like he gave the example if he never wanted to see like pikemen sinking a battleship anymore in a strategy game.
The Civilization IV syndrome, where the guy's towering over the city.
Right. So that was good looking and.
Yeah, I was playing also in THQ's booth was Frontline Fuels of War.
Oh yeah,
Frontline's Fuel of War. It was from the Desert Combat guys. I was actually kind of surprised by that one.
I was too. Yeah, they showed that on Xbox 360 and PC both.
The best way I can think of describing it's kind of like Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, but more of a focus on the action as opposed to the tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of looking forward to that one. I mean, it's obviously easily a year and a half off, but
mm-hmm. Well, as most of the stuff is.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the games I saw that. I don't know if you guys got a chance to go see the Codemasters booth, but they showed me a couple of games, one of which called Maelstrom was a really interesting RTS. It's got beautiful graphics, and a lot of the game engine is based on a 3D system where the ground that you're on is actually raised up quite a bit, so you can dig huge holes into the ground with, orbital satellite weapons and fill them with water, which has poisonous effects and all sorts of cool stuff. So the engine in that game was very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they do with that.
While you were there, did you get to check out Overlord?
I did, as a matter of fact.
That was a really funny game. If you get a chance to check it out, I'd recommend it. Basically, it kind of reminded me of Dungeon Keeper in a way. You control one evil character, and you have a horde of minions, mm-hmm. little goblins, and you have them like go kill people, loot houses, and basically just be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I saw was they go to this hobbit village, and he's got this slavering horde of goblins armed with pikes, and they open some poor baker's home and rush in, and you hear all this crashing and burning, and these people come out screaming, and then you hack them down with your sword.
It's a cool idea to put goblins in a game. I don't think anybody's ever really come up with that.
Very
before.
Original.
Well, it goes kind of to what
that was kind of a hateful thing to say. I'm sorry.
Hateful.
The game.
Bastard.
It goes kind of along the lines of what Darren was talking about, where you have sort of the ability to control multiple things at once. The goblins are sort of controlled by a certain set of controls, and your own guy is controlled by the keyboard and the mouse, say. And it's a cool system. It allows you to feel like you're doing a lot at once when you're really only doing one thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the new Alliance race in World of Warcraft?
I liked it. I admit I was holding out for the Murlocs. I wanted to be a Murloc.
I think lobbying. There's still more expansions on the way.
Yeah, believe me. There's
I think one
more.
of the Penny Arcade guys said that he was hoping it would be Worgen, and when he said that, like, that's all I could think of. I was like, oh my god, I hope it's Worgen. So awesome. And then now I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I was expecting.
They're like big blue evil dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool.
Did you guys see the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
What, did you see the new expansion for Warhammer, Dawn of War?
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
They're adding two races. They're adding the Necrons, this evil undead race, and they're adding the Tau, which are sort of a classic sci-fi race, and very controversial in the Warhammer universe. If you're a fan of the tabletop game, the Tau are sort of hated because they don't fit into that whole faux medieval Inquisition mythology.
Also, the message boards must be like aflame.
Exactly.
They've ruined it.
So I take that means you play the board yet? You play the tabletop game?
I used to back when I was popular in high school and I had so many limitations. Not anymore.
Just trying to think of other games. Okay, raise your hands if you saw Mass Effect.
I got to see it tomorrow.
We got Luke from 1UP over there raising his hand. You saw it?
Yeah,
Luke?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Luke from 1UP
awesome.
Says it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Ray and Greg from Bioware just walked by. That's the cool thing about being in this little bubble here. There's like gaming celebrities walking by as we yammer here.
Yeah, one of the coolest things, like especially first day at E3 was I was standing outside the Spore Theater and Gabe Newell walked out. Mm-hmm. And then standing there waiting to get in was Warren Spector. So just like, oh, wow, that's so weird that like all these people are just kind of meeting in the same place, seeing each other's games.
Paris Hilton and Adam West were here.
Yeah,
Ryan's
Adam West was here for a couple hours.
Paris Hilton and Adam West, were they together?
No. Oh, that would have
been how hot would that be?
That would be so good.
No, actually, that's the sex video I want.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think the camera would have imploded if
like Adam West in the bat suit he's like 75 now or something.
Adam West
Paris
in the bat suit.
Oh.
And also the guy who plays Robin too. That would have been
or Paris Hilton
hot.
In the Robin.
Oh
outfit.
Yeah, that's good. See, that's why you're there.
I'm saving
chief.
It for my fantasy
I'm a
tonight.
Freelancer.
Hotel Figueroa.
I actually just threw up a little in the back of my throat.
Oh, God. I don't know if you guys saw Dark Messiah of Might and Magic, but I think that's a really cool-looking game. I'm very stoked about that.
Assassin's Creed? Anyone?
Assassin's
Creed?
Oh,
no, but I see it on the board over there as a Game of Show nominee from us, from 1UP. So sounds like I should see it.
Yeah, the stuff I need to see tomorrow.
And for the record, just going back to CGW cover stories, Huxley is just looking great. I'm really, really, really psyched about Huxley. So
basically every game we put on our cover we think is great.
Everything else,
we're smart. The ones on the PC Gamer covers, though, kind of sucked.
Oh.
Did I have to say that? Can we edit it out?
Let me say
for the record, the new cover PC Gamers Command and Conquer 3, and that game looked great.
Yeah.
Okay,
it looked great.
Are we all friends again?
It looks great. It has no interface.
We're big people here.
It was really pretty though.
Yeah, it was cool.
I thought the story of that game looked really neat.
Yeah,
on CNC.
You know, as we came out, they were asking me like what I thought of it. I got to tell you, like I was thinking about it. When you played the first couple games, they just kind of like threw you in this world without the history behind it.
Yeah.
And now when you're actually you come back and look at this game, and at least maybe it's just me getting excited because I love the series. Mm-hmm. The trailer kind of puts you right back in the world.
Cool.
Explaining.
It was cool. It was kind of funny because as they were showing us the backstory and what happened in Command & Conquer 1, mm-hmm. just like, is that what happened? That's really cool. I don't remember that.
Yeah, right. So, you know, go buy the new PC Gamer. It has a CNC scoop there.
And then buy ours.
Nah, I think karma's been made up for now.
And then buy two of ours.
I want to second what Jeff said. Being a freelancer and writing for a wide variety of magazines, none of them anywhere near as good as any Ziff Davis publication.
Dude.
I just want to say.
How embarrassing.
No, I do want to say in all seriousness, this is a great show for PC games. There's a lot of great games. I was really surprised that there's some Japanese game houses that normally only do console games like Namco that are releasing PC content. I'm really stoked. Mm-hmm. The PC is looking really cool.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I really loved was the Microsoft press conference on the first day that not only that they paid a lot of good, you know, Peter Mard said a lot of good things about supporting games for Windows, which is, I guess, what we have to call it now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also the live stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the integration of live Xbox Live with live on the PC.
It is so damn smart.
It's a great idea. And that's, speaking of Huxley, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to allow PC gamers to play with Xbox gamers, and we'll see.
Yep.
Well, they're showing it with Shadowrun.
Well, yeah,
right?
Internally they're showing off Shadowrun, although if I can make one quick aside, because I was a huge fan. I mean, I used to play the game, and then the SNES and the Genesis version. Yeah.
I love the Genesis one.
That's cool, dude.
But the thing is, like, this FPS game, I don't know. I'm not so psyched on it just yet. Maybe I need to get my hands on it some more.
You remember the old game? Yeah, that was a great game.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan is making the we got to hang it up signal. Okay. You know why we have to hang it up? Because we have dinner at steak dinner at Morton's tonight.
But they forgot to put me on the reservation list just because to show you how much they care. They care about their freelancers.
You know what? You can stand outside and we'll like throw you scraps of meat.
I thought I was going to be serving you food tonight. That was how it was going to work. I was going to be the waiter at the restaurant.
Yeah, we're going to bring you a little doggy bag.
All right. It's my privilege, guys. You guys are the greatest.
Yeah, we are.
Oh. Group
You're
hug,
okay,
everyone.
Too. Group hug.
Okay.
All right, we're hugging and we're wrapping up.
And that's the wrap it up signal right there.
That's CGW broadcasting live from 1UP. We love you, and we'll see you back in San Francisco. Bye.
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 Bye.